Greetings once again, America. My name is Doug McBurney, and you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the World View. That's right, it is Doug McBurney. It is the Weekly Worldview. I'm joined here in studio with my extremely attractive audio engineer who went out on the road. We all went out on the road. The whole family went out on the road for the last couple of weeks. I know I've missed 3 weeks. I apologize. When we returned off the road, my extremely attractive audio engineer, she was ready to do another show, but I had driven from somewhere in the middle of nowhere in southern Utah all the way to Denver in one stretch, and I just couldn't do it. I apologize. Couldn't do it. I didn't want to put an inferior product on the podcast, so I decided I better just take the day off, and then I was back on the road all last week. I want to thank the Lord God in heaven above, the creator of heaven and earth, for the overall geography of Southern California, and then the weather. Although I don't think God has anything to do with the weather on a day-to-day basis, he did set it in motion some thousands and thousands of years ago. And just by chance, the Santa Anas were blowing, and San Diego was just beautiful. Was it not? It was quite lovely. We had a great time, had sun and warm weather the whole time. Thank you, Lord. What's that? That's right. We were laying in bed at the hotel on Thursday night, turned on the TV, and the Weather Channel was reporting on the first seasonal snow in Denver, and they had a picture of snow falling in Denver. I said, baby, why don't we stay another day or two even, which we did. So anyway, a good time was had by all, yeah, but we're glad to be back, certainly. Do I want to jump right into the news? I have now, my extremely attractive audio engineer doesn't want to retire in Southern California. She'd be happy with moving out there any old time. But we can't do that. And I'll get to reasons why, a couple of reasons here as we go through the news. And I just want to warn you up front, my dear.
It's not
gonna. No. I'm going to get these stories about these deviants. I'm going to get them out of the way early.
Yeah, there's none in Colorado.
No. Well, that's there's plenty of them here in Colorado. I was sitting on the airplane. Where was I flying back from yesterday? Arizona, Las Vegas. Anyway, this kid had these ear-stretching grommet things in his ears. I shouldn't say a kid. The guy was probably 30. They were the size of a cue ball, these ear stretchers, and they were white, and they looked like bone. They looked like something right off the African savanna. It was really weird. And he was generally unkept and just not clean cut. And he was flying back. He had his Broncos T-shirt on, so he was flying back to catch the Broncos game. All right. Anyway, so we have our fair share of lunatics, losers, and scumbags here in Colorado, but they've got big problems out in California, aside from the overall geography and the weather, which are not a problem at all. But let's open in Las Vegas, and I open with this story because I happened to be in Las Vegas the night this happened. Dateline Las Vegas from the Associated Press, boxer Orlando Cruz lost his bid for a piece of the featherweight title last week, getting stopped in the seventh round. And I'm reading this article and I'm thinking, why do they open up with the story of the boxer who lost the fight? Typically, don't they start out announcing who won the fight? Well, Orlando Cruz is the first openly homosexual boxer. And he lost to obvious homophobe Orlando Salido, who knocked him out in the seventh round. That's a homophobic act, I think, to knock out a homosexual, especially an open homosexual. Anyway, Orlando Salido knocked out the queer in the seventh round, and I've got a quote here from the winner of the fight and champion, Orlando Salido. He says, "This is the biggest moment of my life. I won the world title for the fourth time," unquote.
I hope he was wearing gloves.
I believe he was wearing gloves. I think that's standard practice around a boxer of this stripe. So Orlando Salido says it's the biggest moment of his life, but the headline, Orlando, is about the queer, who you knocked out in the seventh round, because American news media just can't resist reporting on a homosexual, even if he lost the fight. got knocked out, embarrassingly. The Orlando Cruz entered the ring accompanied by a man waving a flag with rainbow colors, and he fought in trunks with rainbow colors. Just out there for everyone, in front of God and everyone, announcing his deviancy and his perversion and celebrating his sin in front of everyone. The CBS in Las Vegas reports that it was the first title fight for Cruz in his 13-year professional career. So he's just another aging athlete seeking relevance. Who's the basketball player? Jason Collins says nobody will sign him because he's a homosexual and he won't shut up about it. Anyway. Oh, by the way, Lou Reed. Did you hear the news? Lou Reed ran into Andy Warhol in hell this afternoon, and they discovered that they actually hate each other. And they've been fighting like a couple of girls ever since. At last report, they were still scratching and clawing there in the pit of hell. Lou Reed died today. You're not familiar. She's not familiar with Lou Reed. I heard a song circa 1980 called Walk on the Wild Side.
Oh, I've heard that.
And I thought, okay, this is evil. This is really, really evil. Anyway, so Lou Reed, we want to welcome Lou Reed to hell. Andy Warhol and him were scratching at each other like a couple of mad feminists at last report. All right, so let's move on from the pop culture / sports news. That's what America's fixated on. Open deviance, perversion, and corruption. I've got a story from the New York Post about President Barry Ho's plan to create a unisex look for the Marine Corps. Yeah, they want the Marines to wear these French-looking girly porter caps.
Aww.
Yeah, because Barry says they want to... Allegedly, they want to save money by coming up with unisex uniforms, I guess, and caps in this case. Anyway, the Marine Corps, they're voting. Marines had until last Friday to cast their votes on the new homo hats. But Marine Corps head General James Amos, that's Marine Corps head, who reported this? The New York Post. The Commandant of the Marine Corps, I believe is what he's called. James Amos will make the final decision, and he is Barry Ho's man. So for all you Marines out there, you can look forward to a unisex future and loads of queers in the barracks, thanks to Barry. Now, meanwhile, so that's the state of the Marine Corps, our first line of defense against world enemies. Meanwhile, from USA Today, they report that Iran could produce enough weapons-grade uranium to build a nuclear bomb in as little as a month. What are the Marines focused on? Unisex hats. Yeah. The White House invited Senate staffers to a briefing on negotiations with Iran. See, Barry plans to start negotiating with the Iranians as they're adding centrifuges to process uranium to make a nuclear bomb so that they can drop it on Tel Aviv. But Obama said Iran, the Obama administration, according to USA Today, says that Iran is probably a year away from making a bomb. Yeah, but others say, well, the number of centrifuges operational in Iran has expanded from 12 to 19,000 just in the past year. 12,000 to 19,000. So should we open a pool? Will Bibi Netanyahu bomb Iran before Thanksgiving? Well, the better action would be on whether or not he will bomb before Halloween. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if the Israelis have the gumption to do it. You know, their last effort there in Lebanon in 07 was kind of embarrassing. So, anyway, I guess the real big question is, whose nuclear bomb will be detonated first? Israel's or Iran's? And we'll have to wait and see. But another story, a bit disturbing, on the military front. A report here from, well, another one from USA Today. And this is from a week or two ago. I've been gone, okay? I've been on a semi-working vacation. So you'll have to forgive me. There was an attack. Well, let me just read from the story. Navy SEALs abandoned their mission to capture an Islamist terror suspect, an Islamist terrorist suspected of planning the mall attack in Kenya after encountering strong resistance at the man's beachside stronghold in Somalia. The target of the SEALs was Abdikadar Mohammed Abdikadar. Not a very creative mom and dad there. Just call him Abdikadar. What's his last name? Abdikadar. Anyway, he's a terrorist. Abdikadar is an ethnic Somali Kenyan with connections to Al-Qaeda in East Africa, Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, Al-Qaeda in Central Afghan Pakistan area, Al-Qaeda wherever he can find him. He has ties. The SEAL team allegedly pulled out after a gun battle made the operation too risky. Now, I've heard that there were civilians in the area and that the highest echelons of military power lost their nerve, terrified of hurting the civilians, who whether of their own volition or by force, were shielding the terrorists. And, well, it's just a shame. I'm telling the story because it's just a shame that our SEALs were repelled. I think a couple more Americans were captured by pirates, this time, I believe, off the west coast of Africa this past week. So things are deteriorating on the war front. And we've got the Marine Corps focused on whether or not they're going to wear girly hats. That's just wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Obama. We sure do appreciate your fundamental transformation. All right, now on to the NSA spying scandal, one of my favorite topics. I've got a story from the French press agency. German Chancellor Angela Merkel, the target of U.S. snooping on her mobile phone, said last week that such conduct between friends was unacceptable. Yeah, that's what Angela says. She said, quote, "Spying between friends, that just is not done." That's a terrible German accent. I apologize. Anyway, that's what Merkel says. She says it's just not done. As she arrived for the meeting of EU leaders, the EU is having a summit, and the spy scandal is apparently now the top story. Listen, Angela, okay, come on, lean in here, sweetheart. Spying between friends is done, and it has been done, and you and your administration and the Germans are doing it right now. Yes, so don't give me that, okay, Angela? The thing is, it's generally not made public by traitors like Edward Snowden. Yeah, it's gone on since the dawn of human history. Friends have spied on friends. Why? Because we live in a fallen and corrupt world, and nobody really trusts each other, especially when they're in the halls of government. They just don't trust each other 100%. They trust, but verify, which means you got to spy. But it's generally not made public, but Edward Snowden has done that. Now, there was a protest. Let me see here. Story from U.S. News and World Report. World Report. Former National Security Agency contractor Edward Snowden urged Americans to protest against the massive phone and internet surveillance programs that he himself exposed. He was recommending last week that everyone participate in yesterday's protest. Yeah, the protest was called Stop Watching Us. And if you got a chance to watch any of this on the news, if you were watching, I know they said stop watching us, but they did allow the TV cameras in. And you had a bunch of neo-hippie type losers and genuine hippies from the 60s all together holding up their signs yelling, stop watching us, as they took pictures of each other and posted them on Facebook. Stop! Stop watching us! Click, 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 click. Got to get that up on Facebook. So anyway, members of the Stop Watching Us Coalition hosted a protest that included the American Civil Liberties Union, the Mozilla Foundation, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, the Green Party, the Libertarian Party, the Council on Islamic American Relations. I'm sorry, I got that wrong. The Council on American Islamic Relations, Demand Progress and Students for Liberty. I'm sorry, folks. I just don't see any groups here that generally coalesce around good ideas. I couldn't stand with any of these guys. Someone told me FreedomWorks was there, and that would be fairly embarrassing for FreedomWorks. But can you imagine the leadership at FreedomWorks standing up next to a smelly, disease-infested hippie from the American Civil Liberties Union or the Green Party? Anyway, I didn't participate in the Stop Watching Us protest, but I did watch just a little bit. The Stop Watching Us Coalition is sending a message. Stop watching us! According to U.S. News. And also, they were there to promote the idea that they wanted to not be watched and also to get high and cruise for anonymous... Well, I don't need to go any further with that. I think that's the theme song. The theme song of the Stop Watching Me. Stop Watching Me. Click, click, click. Anyway, just a bit ironic. All right, now we go to the Department of Homeland Security file, where we uncover a genuinely disturbing turn of events. This is reported by the Daily Caller, a website that I detest. And it's mostly because of that little twerp with the bow tie who hosts it. What's that guy's name? Yeah, the bow tie. Anyway, I can't think of his name, but I hate that little mealy-mouthed twerp. But anyway, some good reporting here, I must admit. On August 6th, Audrey Hudson, a reporter, a loyal liberal reporter for, well, as far back as I can recall, she says on August 6th, officers dressed in full body armor presented a search warrant to enter a home she shares on the bay with her husband. Well, that's a strange choice of words, isn't it? A home she shares with her husband. I mean, doesn't that go without saying that wives generally share? Couldn't they just say on her home or her and her husband's home? Anyway, I digress. I get distracted by silly things. I just don't know what's going on in journalism school. It's as if, just by saying it this way, they imply that their marriage is just some convenient social arrangement. They just happen to share a house on the bay. Oh, yeah, I guess it's her husband. But yeah. Anyway, apparently Audrey Hudson had written a series of critical stories about air marshals for the Washington Post. I'm sorry, for the Washington Times over the last decade. And, well, apparently the body armor clad troops came into her house and they were allegedly there to confiscate guns from her husband, with whom she shares a house on the bay. But they took a bunch of files, including five files that included her handwritten and typed notes and other documents. She says they confiscated them. Those notes, according to the Daily Caller, were used to expose how the Federal Air Marshal Service had lied to Congress about the number of airline flights that were actually being protected by said Air Marshal Service. And now the government says that they took those documents because they wanted to make sure it was legitimate for her to have them, to which she replied, "I wrote them. They were my notes. What do you mean? Is it legitimate that I had them?" So what's happened here, ladies and gentlemen, and what Mr. Snowden has shown, and others, the whole WikiLeaks thing, is that our government is abusing its lawful authority to keep and protect secrets and to spy on people. They're abusing it. Yeah. The men involved, and here's the thing, folks. We should not stand up and say that the government doesn't have the right to execute search warrants or to keep secrets or to spy, because they do. But the men involved, and the men and the women involved, in fact, in Barry Ho's case, I think I should say the women and the man involved. Well, from Barry Ho on down, from the girl Troika, Valerie Jarrett, all the way on down, they should be, at the least, impeached, and at the most, arrested for abusing the government's lawful authority. Yeah, that, and maybe a military coup is our only hope at this point. I've considered whether or not I should come out publicly and advocate a military coup. But the thing is, I'm just not sure there's anyone left in the military that we can count on who knows what America was ever really about. So maybe even a military coup.
It'll be fashionable.
Well, they will look good. If there was a military coup, at least the military would look good while doing it in their new unisex French porter hats. Anyway, if I'm for it, if it would be led by decent men in the military. If there's any decent men left in the military, please help us. Because the democratic process, well, it just ain't working, okay? All right. Now, I believe it might be a crime to advocate a military coup. So I should say that I'm just speaking metaphorically and rhetorically. And I certainly wouldn't support anything like that happening for real, okay? All right, got out of that. Now, one more. I have to warn my extremely attractive audio engineer. is from the Queering of America file. The U.S. Postal Service, according to the San Francisco Chronicle, said last week that child molester, what's his name here? Harvey Milk. Child molester Harvey Milk will be recognized with a commemorative stamp. Yeah. And the San Francisco Chronicle is extremely pleased because they say it's an honor that apparently had never before gone to an openly gay politician. And if there's anything the San Francisco Chronicle loves, it's an openly gay anything and everything everywhere. So they're just thrilled. Previous stamp honorees, Rosa Parks, Jackie Robinson, Elvis Presley. Yeah. Well, this year, according to the San Francisco Chronicle, legislation was introduced to the Board of Supervisors to rename San Francisco Airport after Harvey Milk. I think that's probably appropriate for San Francisco. The design of Milk's commemorative stamp has not been made public. It will not include any scenes of him molesting children, we assume. Its release has not been scheduled, but it is expected to be fabulous. Just fabulous. You know, this reminds me of that song by Queen. Now, are you familiar with Queen? A little familiar with Queen. They had a song called We Want It All and We Want It Now. The homos want their own stamp. They want San Francisco International Airport. And if they can get their hooks into your kids, they want them too. I don't care how nice they seem to be. All right, they're out for, they want it all and they want it now. Queen said it in a song right there. They broadcast it. Yeah, I wonder if Lou Reed ran into Freddie Mercury down there in hell. Maybe it's like a three-way cat fight down there right now. Yeah, they got together. They realized they actually hate each other's guts, and they're just shredding at each other. At last report. We have a report. Yeah, we have a reporter in hell keeping an eye on things. He's actually just at the rim of hell looking over, reporting back. All right. Now, reason number one why we can't move to California, at least now, and at least not any time in the near future. Dateline Sacramento, this is from the LA Times. Governor Jerry Brown, governor of California, as bizarre as that is to even say. Governor Jerry Brown signed legislation a couple weeks ago that will allow children in California to have more than two legal parents. A measure opposed by some conservative groups as an attack on the traditional family. Gee, you think? So you notice that he's authorizing two legal parents. Because when you use the term legal to preface something, that implies, and it's understood, that you might be making stuff up. You know? Like legally blind. There's a lot of people who are legally blind, but they can see. And you can give someone two legal parents on their birth certificate, but they'll never actually have two parents. Just kind of making stuff up. Nothing against the blind, by the way. Even the legally blind. I know you got it rough. It's just that after the Americans with Disabilities Act, I have a problem with legal definitions that push people into welfare classes. So I actually like blind people. Some of my best friends are blind. Can I? No? Well, and it's not easy when you have problems with your vision. But when you decide to give your child three or four parents and maybe throw in the family dog, well, that's a problem, in my opinion. Well, one particular homosexual, San Francisco Democrat Mark Leno, authored the measure, he says, to address the changes in family structure in California, including situations in which same-sex couples have a child with an opposite-sex biological partner, and everybody wants to come to the party, that's all. The law, according to the LA Times, will allow the courts to recognize three or more legal parents so that custody and financial responsibility can be shared by all those involved in raising the child. All right. Senate Bill 274 is what the bill was called. Now it's a law. Because insane Governor Jerry Brown actually signed it. The law was opposed by advocates for traditional families, including Brad Dacus, who's president of the Pacific Justice Institute. And he has a quote here where he talks about tradition and America And this is a mistake. Let me get into what it says. Anyway, this Brad Dacus, here's another fellow who thinks he can win a moral argument without relying on God. Yeah, and therefore, well, he's doomed to lose. Yeah. Yeah, he's just got an opinion. And I think he's just another opportunist, as a matter of fact. I think he's a part of what has blossomed as the pro-family industry. You know, ever since the queers and the judges and the lawyers started legalizing homosexual marriage, there has blossomed now a pro-family industry. And the one thing they don't mention is the fact that in the beginning, God created the male and female. They never mention that. But they raise all kinds of money saying they can win this battle. And, well, they're being slaughtered, frankly. Because there is no other argument that you can rely on, except in the beginning, God made them male and female. And we shouldn't mess with that. In fact, we can look back at history and see how this type of deviant behavior has destroyed some of the greatest civilizations in the history of man. I thought all this was fairly obvious. Where have you people been? What are you people thinking about, for crying out loud, out there in California, voting for Jerry Brown? All right, I got another one here, Jerry Brown, from the Personhood File. Breitbart reports that Governor Jerry Brown in California signed a new law a couple of weeks ago legalizing non-physician abortions in the state. Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, non-physician abortions. In a statement, Governor Brown boasted that the law was one of seven bills he signed that day to, quote, support the health and well-being of women in California, unquote. Well, yeah. Well, you know, with chemical abortions, I mean, the whole country really has non-physician abortions. We have self-administered abortions now. And so as we move into the chemical front and surgical abortion will decline, I think, significantly over the next 5 or 10 years as chemical abortion takes its place, it just becomes obvious to me that only a personhood law has a chance to curtail it. And I'm not saying that a personhood law will curtail it. I'm just saying that only personhood has a chance to curtail it. And it's certainly not going to be the pro-life industry or the pro-family industry who seem content to raise money and get candidates elected and consistently lose ground against the forces of darkness and wickedness that seek to consume our families and our children. It's not going to be them. The one thing you can say about the personhood movement, at least everyone I know of who's involved, is they're not afraid not only to mention God, but to actively seek biblical guidance and wisdom in this battle. And we need God in this battle, folks, because this is one for the ages. We're back. It's the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney, with musical interludes from my extremely attractive audio engineer. We sure do appreciate your efforts here, my dear. And now we go from, what were we talking about, Jerry Brown? No. Jerry Brown. Jerry Moonbeam Brown. We're going to go now to someone who has far greater influence on the daily culture of the United States of America, and that is Uncle Cy from Duck Dynasty. Yeah. Uncle Cy is quoted by CBS down in Houston. He gave an interview with Men's Journal. Uncle Cy described how he used to be a sinner during his younger days when he was drafted into the Army. He says, I kept a fifth of whiskey in my pocket. I even tried dope one time, says Uncle Cy. I like this. He says, why would you want to smoke something that makes you feel 100 years old? So anyway, that wasn't for him. But Uncle Cy Robertson, says that he's worried about the pedestal that his family has been put on since the reality show took off. He says, look, I worry that people put us on a pedestal now. We're human beings. We make mistakes just like everybody else. And so I just want to point out, Cy, that you do make mistakes. Your whole family. I've noticed in the show that you're allowing your children to be corrupted and seduced in the government schools. And because of that problem, I don't see the Duck Dynasty making it now to the third generation. Yeah, and I don't see the show. I just don't see things ending well with the kiddos there in the Robertson clan. Yeah. Anyway, but we like to watch the show. We're fairly entertained by it. We like the fact that the producers are allowing them to slip the name of Jesus Christ into the prayer at the end of every show now. What's that now?
Not the cursing, not the
bad. Oh, yeah, not as a curse word either. That's right. Yeah, they're all. I think the Duck Dynasty family there, the Robinsons, have insisted they allow the name of Jesus, and the producers have relented for whatever reason. Oh, I know why. Duck Dynasty's premiere, according to CBS in Houston, was the most watched nonfiction series telecast in the history of cable TV. So that gives them some, you know, ability to control the content. But you know, you got to get your kids out of the schools, Robinsons. You're setting a bad example on that front. That's all. Okay? And I hate to be the guy who's always nitpicking, but I don't think sending your children into the temple of Baal while you proclaim to be an advocate of Jesus Christ, I just don't think that's a nitpicky issue. I think it's a big deal. And I wish they would fix that. All right. Oh, by the way, back to California. I was telling my extremely attractive audio engineer. Two reasons. Two of the, among the many reasons we can't move out to Southern California. And she reminded me that Colorado's just as bad. In fact, I have to agree, because in Colorado, they've actually outlawed quoting certain segments of the Bible. They've actually made that against the law.
What?
Yeah. Well, you can't publicly make a statement in Colorado that denigrating homosexuals or homosexual behavior or, I don't know, Lady Gaga or any of the freaks. You can't. And if you stood up and read certain portions of the Bible, I believe you could be arrested in Colorado.
Wow.
Anyway, they passed the law a couple years ago. My pastor went down to the state capitol and started handing out pamphlets and quoting Bible scriptures of Romans about homosexuals. And he was asking, why don't you arrest me? And my pastor knows why. Pastor Bob knows that they just got this law on the books so that at a time when it's convenient to them, they will use it. And they will arrest certain vocal Christians, I'm certain. And I'd be proud to be amongst that group. All right, now let's move on to the Physical Conservative File. Yeah, this is from the Physical Conservative File. I know, it's supposed to be fiscal conservative. But the other night, I'm watching, I don't know if it was Fox or CNN, I can't really tell the difference anymore. But, you know, they had one of their typical panels, the liberal versus the, quote, conservative. And the liberal host kept using the term physical conservative. I want to talk about you, physical conservative. Anyway, the so-called conservative host and the host of the program let him say the word physical conservative three or four times, and they never called him out on it. I don't know why. I think it's considered racist to correct statements made in Ebonics. It's, you know, it's a physical conservative. We're supposed to let people get by with that? Wouldn't you want the guy not to be embarrassing himself on TV and at least in the IFB, you know, in his little earpiece, say it's fiscal conservative, not physical. Just try to help the guy out. But they just let him go on and on. I think a physical conservative is a conservative who listens to a liberal for about 10 minutes and then cuffs him upside the head and says, what are you thinking about? That's a physical conservative. Anyway, got to go to, this is from the physical. Why is this from the physical conservative? Oh, this is from CNS News. They report that Americans who were recipients of means-tested government benefits in 2011 outnumbered year-round full-time workers. So the welfare class now officially is the majority. And now, this 2011, you know how many full-time jobs have been lost since 2011? Anyway, in 2011, according to this survey, there were about 1.07 people getting some form of government benefit, means-tested benefit, for every one person working full-time year-round. Now, how much longer can we do that? You want me to break down these numbers for you? Everybody loves numbers on the radio. Okay, we got 82 million on Medicaid, 49 million on food stamps, 20 million on supplemental security income, 23 million on women, WIC, women and infants with children. Not women and infants with children. What is it? Women, infants, and children program. What is that? Women, infants, and children? Do they issue people women, infants, and children? No, I think they give free government cheese to women, infants, children, and the slack-jawed absent fathers who have abandoned their families. You know that the folks like that football player, I can't even remember his name. I was going to do that story, but it's a football player who had a kid. He's got like seven kids with half a dozen different women. Anyway, you know that those type of fathers are eating this free government cheese, too, or they're trading it for crack and 40-ouncers. What else do we got here? 13 million on subsidized housing, 5 million on a program called Temporary Assistance for Needy Families. That used to just be called families. Because when someone was in need for temporary assistance, there wasn't a program. There was a family to actually take care of someone. But now we have a program, Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, formerly known as just families. What else? There's even more. 100,000 get free or reduced lunch or breakfast at school. Anyway, so there's the numbers, folks. We're bloody well outnumbered by the welfare class. So those of you who have some hope that the American people are somehow going to wake up and reverse the destruction, well, I just don't see it, at least not in any democratic sense. Now, I do believe that a small but vocal minority of men who call upon the name of the Lord could help solve a lot of these problems, physical and otherwise.
I thought the word needy is insult.
What's that?
I thought the word needy.
Oh, yeah, needy. Oh, boy, they'll probably have to revise that. That's derogatory. That could stigmatize someone to imply that someone's needy. Well, if you're going getting a government check, I guess you got to bow down and admit you're needy. All right, I'm a loser, man. Give me the cheese. It's really sad. I think we get some kind of government welfare. I think we do. In the tax code, I think we take care. I believe that the McBurney clan right here in this house, I believe we take advantage of several deductions that in my heart of hearts, I believe are immoral forms of welfare. But I figure since the government's stealing so much of my money already, I'm going to do whatever I can to get some of it back. So I think we're a part of the welfare class. Reason number 711 to keep or get your kids out of the government school is from Iowa City, Iowa. A University of Iowa teaching assistant accidentally emailed pictures of herself to math students. Oh, why would that be a big deal? Well, it was pictures of her and her boyfriend, and need I go any further? Okay. Now, she has, just so you know, the University of Iowa, they've drawn the line. They've reassigned her to non-teaching duties. Yeah. Yeah, the story, the students got the pictures. What did they do? They didn't say stop watching us. They put it on Twitter and Facebook and everything else. The story went viral. The teacher's assistant has apologized. And a university spokesman has said that the incident was unfortunate.
I don't know. I think she did it on purpose.
You think she did it on purpose?
Don't watch me.
Don't watch me. She's probably part of the Don't Watch Me coalition. The University of Iowa, by the way, according to Breitbart, was recently crowned the number one party school in America. And I'm not making that up. Oh, yeah, let's go to Iowa. That used to be the heartland, right? The Bible Belt and all that. All right. I'll stop. And California does have that geography. Let's have that geographic advantage. Reason number 710. These are in no particular order. To keep or get your kids out of the government schools. A 14-year-old Danvers, Connecticut high school freshman went to a movie after killing his math teacher. Yeah. Philip Chisholm. According to police, he assaulted and subsequently murdered 24-year-old Colleen Ritzer, his math teacher. And then he went to a matinee of the new Woody Allen movie, which will remain nameless. I'm not sure what's more shocking. The murder of a teacher by a boy whom she herself helped to teach that there is no God, there is no right and wrong, that you evolve from slime, that morality is relevant, that sexual immorality is fun. I don't know what's more shocking, that a student murdered a teacher, or that Woody Allen is still allowed to make movies. Isn't he some kind of child molester who, like, raped and then married his own daughter? How is this guy still making movies? Anyway, this is probably the only press that Allen's picture has gotten. I thought he was dead. I didn't even know he was still alive, let alone making movies. This is probably the only press that he's gotten. And knowing Woody, he's happy. He's just happy his movie made the news. This is the only proof. This is the only proof Woody Allen has that anyone actually went to see his movie. All right, not to make too much light of the fact that a student murdered a teacher. But, well, that was the second time this week. So that was the second time a student killed a teacher. The other kid was 12. This is a 14-year-old. It's just not that shocking anymore. Although it's a tragedy of epic proportions. And
always a math teacher, too.
Yeah, was it both math teachers?
I don't know. They shouldn't teach math anymore.
That'll be the liberal solution. Yeah. They're going to stop teaching math.
Oh, yeah, that would be
me. We're going to suspend all math instruction until we figure out what's going on here. That would be the liberal solution. All right, reason number 712 to keep your or get your children out of the government schools, the National Education Association and the American Federation of Teachers are opposing a bill that would ostensibly protect school children from criminals, including sex offenders. So they have a new law that they're trying to institute there. I believe it's in Minnesota. And that would increase the background checks on teachers. Well, the NEA and the American Federation of Teachers, they say they don't want background checks increased. They don't want them. They say that background checks often have a huge racially disparate impact on potential teachers. Do you understand what they're saying here? They're saying that black and brown people are more likely to have a criminal past. And so we shouldn't do background checks. Well, isn't that racist on its face for the NEA and the AFT to say that, for crying out loud? I mean, doesn't that make it obvious to everyone that they're really lying and that they really don't mind the fact that teachers are seducing children? That's the bottom line. The highest echelons of power at the NEA and the AFT actually like and are entertained by the idea that they can go cruise for school children. That's what I believe. Or they're a bunch of racists. We'll ask them to acquit themselves on that. Finally, reason number 707. To get or keep your children out of the government schools, a University of Texas criminologist has analyzed data collected from 7,000 students in all 50 states. The study concluded that students at schools with anti-bullying programs might actually be more likely to become victims of bullying. Yeah, and it found that students at schools with no bullying programs were less likely to become victims. The results were stunning to this University of Texas criminologist because he's a liberal socialist moron as well. He's got a degree from the University of Texas, which tells us one thing. He's been brainwashed into being a liberal idiot. So he was shocked. He says, usually people expect an anti-bullying program to have some positive impact. But guess what? His study indicated that they're not. Yeah. He says that students might see examples in videos in these anti-bullying programs and then want to act out the bullying in the videos. And that these anti-bullying programs may actually teach students different bullying techniques and even educate them about new ways to bully through social media and texting. He says some programs even teach students how to bully without leaving evidence behind. There is a possibility, he says, of negative impact from anti-bullying programs. Not to mention the fact that it encouraged kids to become homosexuals. Because that's what the whole anti-bullying movement is about. It's actually a pro-homosexual and pedophilia movement designed to corrupt the minds of children, is what it's all about. I remember when I was in seventh grade, they had a guy come into our school. It was the anti-drug program. He laid out a table with everything, syringes and joints and bongs and pipes and every kind of drug paraphernalia and every kind of drug, and we were all allowed to go look at it. And I remember me and my seventh grade friends just looking at it going, wow, that's what cocaine looks like? Oh, wow, that's marijuana. Wow. Yeah, it didn't have the intended effect. It's the Weekly Worldview. Stop that clapping. That happens a lot when I talk. People have the insatiable desire to clap. I said stop it with that. It's the Weekly Worldview.
Sounds like only one person.
Well, I apologize to all 10 million of our listeners for missing the show last week. All right, now we move on. Another story from Breitbart. This is from the Domestic Tranquility File. Jackson County, Indiana, the heartland. Police say a 17-year-old girl died. This was on the week of October 8th. A 17-year-old girl died after leaping from a minivan being driven by her stepfather. Her mother was also a passenger in the vehicle. Lakin Field was a sophomore at Jennings County High School, and she jumped out of the car and reportedly hit the pavement so hard that she later died from head injuries. It is reported that the teen jumped from the van's rear passenger door after becoming upset with her mom and her stepdad. I really don't have anything to say about it. I just want to report on the state of domestic tranquility in America. Now, isn't one of the government's authorized duties in the Constitution to provide, provide for the common defense? I forget. Something about domestic tranquility. Preserve domestic tranquility? I don't know. Promote the general welfare. Well, I never liked that line. Promote the general welfare? Well, I don't know. I think a number of the founders probably looked at that line and said, wait a minute, promote the general welfare. I think people might take advantage of that, and they could destroy this whole country within a couple of centuries. I think we should yank that out. But even back then, during the founders, there were socialists amongst us. Okay? And they got that in there. Anyway, the domestic tranquility is not being preserved or promoted as well as it should be by the government, in my humble opinion. And the general welfare is becoming far too generous, as a matter of fact. All right. Now, on to the justice file. I think this is old news, but for some reason it's new news. This is from Fox News. Court documents released last Friday reveal that a grand jury indictment in 99, back in 1999, accused John and Patsy Ramsey of child abuse resulting in death and being an accessory to a crime, including murder, in connection to the murder of their six-year-old daughter, JonBenet. Former district attorney and liberal Boulder dweller refused to sign the documents and prosecute them. And then in 2008, fake, phony, lying, hypocritical piece of filth, Boulder district attorney Mary Lacey, in my opinion, exonerated the girl's parents, yeah, and everyone in the immediate family after the DNA found at the murder scene did not match anyone in the family. Anyway, my pastor has a great theory on where that DNA came from, and I believe that what we see here from the grand jury only helps to bolster his theory. You can check it out. It's over at shadowgov.com, the old website from the old days. That's old school. That was back when we put that website up back when you went to log in on the internet, it went. Remember that? Anyway, it's still up there. Go check it out. JonBenet's mother, JonBenet Ramsey's mother, Patsy, died of cancer in 2006, proving that the death penalty still isn't in force. And if the government won't institute the death penalty, give place to wrath, people, don't worry, because God will. He built it into the system. All right. Now, from the politics file, I didn't know whether to put this in the politics file or the bad religion file. But Herman Cain said that he's about to come out with a bunch of new information about the allegations that were made against him during the recent presidential campaign. You remember? One woman came forward, she was anonymous, and he blew her off. And then like 40 other women started. I'm exaggerating. It seemed like a woman a day. And eventually they were willing to come out in public, give their names. Anyway, he says the allegations were orchestrated by the devil. That's what he says. By the way, he's some kind of Baptist minister or something. Where is it here? Anyway, he's some kind of pastor, I guess. I think you can get that online these days. You can become a preacher. Oh, he serves as an associate pastor at a Baptist church in Atlanta. And he says he's been fighting against the evil one from the pulpit. He says that the devil is determined to destroy our culture. All right, Herman. You know, just get out of here with that. I liked Herman. I wanted to get on the Cain train. Yeah. You kidding me? I loved Herman Cain. But anyway, the devil, we don't need the devil, frankly, to destroy. We're doing it ourselves. We're electing politicians who are doing it. We're promoting talk show hosts and part-time Baptist ministers who have no clue what's going on. It's the problem, Herman, is really with you. And when the problem is with you, it's really easy for you to blame the devil. He can't even defend himself. All right. Just get out of here, Herman, please. All right, now from the science, really, file. Researchers at a U.S. lab claim to have passed a crucial milestone on the way to their ultimate goal of achieving self-sustaining nuclear fusion. Yeah, they say harnessing fusion could provide an unlimited and cheap source of energy. But to be viable, fusion power plants would have to produce more energy than they consume, which has proven elusive. Well, it's not just elusive, it's irrational. Nothing in the universe can generate more power than it consumes. So that's why I put this in the science, really, file. Because isn't that like the crazy uncle who used to tinker with his perpetual motion machine in his basement? We had a guy in our town like that. He was working on a perpetual motion machine. And everyone thought he was, you know, interesting guy, but kind of nuts. Now they get billions in grant money. I think that's why they passed this milestone. I think some grant money's coming up. And so they said, hey, we're almost there on fusion. Yeah, all right. It's all a scam for grant money, in my opinion. And I'm no scientist, but if someone can correct me that it's possible in the universe for a device or a mechanism or a power generation system to generate more power than it consumes, well, just clue me in, because I barely made it out of high school. I'm just observing things from a layman's standpoint, and I could be wrong, but it just sounds kind of kooky for me. Now, from the Science Really file from Montgomery, Alabama, Dr. Sri Singh, he's the director of the Center of Nanobiotechnology Research at Alabama State University, he says in the near future, hey, what's the deal? There's no more white guys. Whenever you do a story about medical research, it's always like Sri Singh. There's no, I think all the white men have been purged from medical research and from the intellectual establishment, except in the liberal arts. That's full of white, guilty, liberal, homo weirdos.
Yeah, they're focused on homosexuality.
Yeah, when it comes to hard science, almost everybody's from Indonesia, India, China, Japan. There's no white guys left. Anyway, that's a side issue. But he says you'll have some small nanomachines that will basically cure diseases before they happen. He says any kind of disease diagnosis or prevention can be done through nanobiotechnology. Yeah. Well, I don't know about any kind of disease or diagnosis. I think that's a bit of a stretch. But it's certainly very interesting to me. He says you could have a virus in your body, and a nanotechnology device could target the virus or the bacteria before you even get sick. Now, that I believe is possible. He says nanotechnology could also streamline tests and diagnoses, tests for almost all possible diseases. using a single blood sample and returning results in about 10 minutes. Wow. He says nanotechnology could kill only cancerous cells while leaving healthy cells unharmed. Well, we shall see. A tremendous potential. But will we lose it all if we further abandon our creator and designer, the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? I mean, we could lose it all. The Muslims who have not contributed anything to science since discovering the mathematical concept of zero about 1,000 years ago, well, they're going to take over. And then where do you think nanotechnology is going to go? You think we're ever going to get nuclear fusion, huh, with the Muslims in charge? Am I just going too far off the... Here's what I'm afraid of, ladies and gentlemen. The explosion of scientific knowledge that the Christian religion has fostered on the planet is in danger of being lost. That's all. Okay? Because Christianity is in danger of being lost. And once the savages and the pagans take over, it's all going to be mysticism and magic, and it's just going to be over. I read an article this morning about antibiotics, that all these superbugs are becoming so resistant to antibiotics that we might actually not have antibiotics anymore. People are actually dying of infectious diseases that 5 years ago they wouldn't have died from. Yeah, that's kind of scary. So we're going to need some smart people. And we're going to need some people who are based in reality and not magic, mysticism, and false religion. And it's self-evident to anyone with half a brain that over the past 1,000 years that it has been the Christian religion that has fostered true scientific innovation. All right. Now, from the Good Religion File, Dateline, Ohio. This is from the Bridge Community Church in Northampton. 28-year-old James Maxey of Springfield, Ohio, was attending a church service, and Reverend Hayes was preaching, and Maxey, this 28-year-old, he's a self-described militant atheist. He went to church, he starts hassling this pastor, and the pastor confronted him. So what does the atheist do? He punches the pastor in the nose. Broke the pastor's nose. The pastor had bruises, 3 long cuts that required stitches on his face. And at the end of the story, the pastor comes out and he says, "You know what? We believe there's hope for everyone," says the pastor. "But we also believe that regardless of that, people need to pay for what they have done." And nowhere in the article does the pastor forgive the guy, which is why this made it into the Good Religion File. I want to thank Pastor Reverend Hayes out at Bridge Community Church in Northampton for not forgiving the guy who broke his nose. All right. Now we go to the Good Religion, Bad Religion File. It's a hybrid story. A pastor in Mombasa, Kenya was shot to death while praying at his church earlier this month. Charles Matole had received death threats after many Muslims had converted to Christianity during his revival services there in Mombasa. Members of his church found him slumped in one of the church's plastic chairs. And he was still holding a Bible in his hand. Preacher out in Mombasa, Kenya. You know, those of us who preach here in America, we feel uncomfortable and you know, it can be kind of embarrassing. And you say some things and you know people are going to be upset with you and they probably won't invite you back. And you might even lose your job. But Charles Matole, he lost his life after converting Muslims to Christianity, found slumped in a chair, still holding a Bible. Not a bad way to go, in my opinion, if you have to. By the way, another pastor, Ibrahim Kidada of the East African Pentecostal Church, was strangled and left in some bushes just this past Sunday, 30 miles north of Mombasa. And Muslim youths from the local mosque shouting Allahu Akbar set fire to the Salvation Army Church building near Mombasa as well. So always, ladies and gentlemen, keep people who are teaching others about the true and living God, keep them in your prayers, because they are threatened with far more than embarrassment and discomfort. They're actually threatened with death. Finally, from Fox News, 4 Iranian Christians have been reportedly sentenced to 80 lashes for drinking communion wine. Yeah, they were arrested in a house church in Iran, because that's the only kind of church you can have in Iran, is a secret house church. And they were consuming alcohol during the Lord's Supper and they have been sentenced to 80 lashes in a nation, according to Fox News, where converting from Islam to Christianity can bring the death penalty.
All right.
Well, now that's not a very upbeat story to end on, but there we are, ladies and gentlemen. So, hey, Christianity is serious, and we know it's serious because its enemies are terrified of it. They're scared enough that they will actually kill the preachers of the gospel of peace, the true gospel of peace, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we'll end with that, ladies and gentlemen. Keep all of them and all of us in your prayers. I will return next week, should the Lord tarry. And until then, I want to thank my friends at Denver Bible Church, American Right to Life, Personhood USA, Theology Online, and as always, my other brother, Darren, who makes it all happen here at the Weekly Worldview Studios. Please come back and listen next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.